1st, the Trump administration issued a rule today that allows employers to opt out of providing birth control coverage. Officials at the Department of Health and Human Services said the new rule creates an exemption for organizations that have a moral or religious objection to contraception. The new rule is seen as a major blow to the Obama-era contraceptive mandate. The Affordable Care Act required that contraceptives be covered under most insurance plans at no cost to women. It was a controversial policy from the start and got pushback from private companies like Hobby Lobby and religious nonprofits. Danya Palanker is an assistant research professor at Georgetown University's Center on Health Insurance Reform. She joins us now to tell us what the new policy means for women. Danya, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, court rulings like the Hobby Lobby case had already kind of chipped away at this contraceptive mandate. What changes now with this new rule from the Trump administration?
Well, this new rule basically is taking what had been a relatively sort of small court decision that applied to a smaller amount of employers and created a process that was different for women of religiously affiliated employers to get health and to get their birth control through their health insurance. And what this does is it changes it from a different process to the women just now don't get their birth control if the employer has either a religious or moral conviction and doesn't want to cover some or all birth control in their employee benefit plan. And it also applies to colleges and universities. So any college or university that does not want to provide that coverage to their employees or their students can also opt out of that such coverage now.
And in announcing this, Trump administration officials had said probably things aren't going to change for that many women in the country. Do you think that's true?
I think it will change for a good number of women. It's a hard situation because we don't know how many people really do have particularly a moral conviction against birth control. It's not something that exists in any law right now that you can get out of a law and discriminate against a protected class because you are morally opposed to that protection. So we really don't know how broad it will be, but there have already been 100 lawsuits filed, mostly from religious opposition, which suggests that we know there's about almost 100 employers or schools that already oppose, some of which are very big employers, Hobby Lobby being the most famous of the ones, but some very large universities as well. So it's not the type of thing where you will just have a few dozen women affected. You could have the hundreds of thousands of people who work for Catholic hospitals, Catholic universities, as well as some other types of either religiously affiliated or just companies that are run by someone who happens to have this moral or religious belief that happens to have thousands or hundreds of employees that chooses to take this coverage away from their employees.
And you mentioned religious or moral belief. So the standard isn't necessarily if you're from a particular religious background, you just have to express that you, as an employer, have a moral objection to contraception to be able to opt out of this mandate.
That's true. That's exactly what this does. So there's actually two rules, one on religious and one on the moral. And there have been no court cases saying that an accommodation needs to be worked out or anything for a moral conviction. In fact, if you think about how our laws work in our country, we generally have non-discrimination laws that are meant to protect somebody in the case that someone has a moral conviction. That would somehow hurt them. For example, if someone, if an employer thinks that women should not work outside of the house, we do not allow them to only hire men because of that, because that's sex discrimination. And it doesn't matter that they have a moral conviction against women working outside of the house. It's that's discriminating against women. And this seems to be opening that door to allow discrimination against women just because an employer has some moral conviction against one type of birth control or the concept of birth control as a whole.
And one response from supporters of this change, I think, is this isn't a big deal. Women can still go out and on their own purchase whatever form of birth control they have. This doesn't restrict their access necessarily.
It restricts access because it takes away the payment for the service. And I think a lot of people may say birth control is not a huge cost, but it first depends on the type of birth control, and second, it depends on what your personal economic situation is. But the long-acting contraceptive methods, which are also the most effective, can cost thousands of dollars to get up front. And even birth control pills, if you're talking, many of them are $70, $75 a month, that's a lot of money for many women. And it may be something that they either can't afford, so they're going to go without, or it's something that their family has to go without something else that might be a necessity. It might actually be another medication because there may be other medications that they can't afford to fill or doctor's visits they can't afford to take if they now have to pay for their birth control.
Danya Planker is with us from Georgetown University's Center on Health Insurance Reforms, looking at the announcement from the Trump administration today on the contraceptive mandate in the Affordable Care Act, allowing many more companies to opt out. And Danya, as I understood the Hobby Lobby case, Hobby Lobby, I believe, was a family-owned, closely held company, a big one, but still family-held. This expands the exemptions to just about any company, including publicly traded companies. Is that a significant change?
That is. First of all, Hobby Lobby had an accommodation, but their employees were still supposed to be getting the birth control. It just wasn't being provided by Hobby Lobby. There was a third party that stepped in. And this is saying even those privately held corporations like Hobby Lobby don't have to do anything to get that third party participating, so now their employees just don't get it. And for the religious, for those who have a religious conviction against birth control, it includes publicly traded companies. Any employer, university or college can choose not to. It seems to be a little more restricted for those who have just a moral conviction, but that is really just the large publicly traded corporations that seem to be exempted. So there are some companies that are probably between Hobby Lobby and some the publicly traded company that might not be considered closely held under the Supreme Court decision, but that still falls in and can just have that moral conviction, which is such a huge gray area and now such a huge number of employers that can take that exclusion.
One state lawmaker here in Wisconsin had tweeted that this will allow employers not to be forced to provide abortifacients, abortion-causing medications to women, saying that that's been an argument. Some forms of birth control, critics say, are equivalent to a very early-term abortion. What do you think of that response?
Even in the preamble to the rules, they talk about the fact that some employers believe that some forms of birth control are abortificants. And I would say I emphasize the word believe because the science doesn't show that. According to medical science, birth control methods work by preventing the pregnancy from occurring, preventing fertilization of the egg, fertilization and implantation of the egg, and to create a law that allows an employer to exclude a medical service because of a belief that's not actually a scientific belief about how the medicine works, but just how you think the medicine works when it's not actually the case of that medicine is very concerning to me. It's basically letting junk science not just dictate employer decisions, but actually dictating the regulations that are getting written around how employers, have to implement a very important law around women's health care access.
Do you expect to see legal challenges to this decision from the Trump administration?
I expect legal challenges to come very soon. A version of these regulations was leaked months ago, and this isn't actually very different than what was leaked. So I believe there are probably some organizations that have been already preparing, and there are many ways in which these regulations may not stand up in court, from just the administrative procedures in how they are issuing rules without an opportunity for people to comment on it, as well as the fact that that anytime you are allowing an employer to limit access to healthcare that only affects women, it definitely raises flags that there is potential for sex discrimination.
The way this was released, is this effective immediately?
It is basically immediately. It's effective this month, and they are going to take people's comments to submit through the federal process for submitting comments. And they said they will be reviewing those comments. But in the meantime, this is actually a final rule, so they become effective.
Danya, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on the call.
That's Danya Palenker, Assistant Research Professor at Georgetown University's Center on Health Insurance Reforms. She joined us to look at the Trump administration's new rule that allows employers to opt out of providing birth control in their health insurance plans. It expands opt-out options to the birth control mandate under the Affordable Care Act.